By now, you know, I've celebrated many masses here. It's so bad. I've been here now in Cleveland 4 years. Woo-hoo. It's good to be home. And you know that I like to ask questions to which I expect a response. I do this to test you, to see if you were paying attention to what Sister taught you. And you know what? I invited her here. She's sitting in the back somewhere, watching and taking notes. And then she'll talk to you afterwards if you don't get them right. What week is it? 32nd week. There you go. You can't answer any more questions now. It is the 32nd week of ordinary time, year A. Remember, we're in a 3-year cycle, ABC, ABC, ABC. We're in year A, cycle one. Daily Mass follows a cycle of one and two, one and two. How do you know which year you're in? If it's an odd year, it's cycle one. If it's an even year, it's cycle two. Very, very simple. So there are a total of 34 weeks in the church calendar. And after the 34th week begins the season of Advent. Okay, you can't answer any more questions either. We are quickly approaching the end of this liturgical year. Not to worry, you will hear more from me about the truth of Advent and the Christmas versus the lies of the secular holiday season. As I was praying over these scripture passages, it occurs to me that these are more typical for funeral masses. The timing is coincidental to the recently celebrated All Souls Day, where we honor our faithful that have gone before us. And I understood there was over 100 candles that we had here on the altar. But these readings are appropriate. Our year of grace, 2023, will come to an end. The reality of all of our lives is that all things will come to an end. What are we doing to prepare for that reality? Are we making the most of the gifts we have received? I miss parish life. My ministry as a hospital chaplain has removed me from normal parish activities, although I like to spend as much time as I can here, you know, without being called off in other directions, you know. But, you know, like teaching in the school, working with young people, growing in their faith. I love talking to teenagers because you can talk to them like adults, and hopefully we understand each other. But the one thing I always tell teens in the confessional, I'll tell you now, please don't take this the wrong way. Don't be offended. Y'all don't know anything. Experience, knowledge, and wisdom comes with time. These are wonderful gifts to grow. Wisdom in particular is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And as with all gifts, wisdom must grow. Resplendent and unfading is wisdom, and she is readily perceived by those who love her and found by those who seek her. She hastens to make herself known in anticipation of their desire. Whoever watches for her at dawn shall not be disappointed, for taking thought of wisdom is the perfection of prudence. Wisdom, by the way, is a trait of God's nature, and is the only time that is referred to in the feminine. It's a gift that is given to us. As with our conscience, it must be properly grown and formed, because there is bad wisdom, bad knowledge, bad experience, and dare I say, badly formed consciences. People making bad choices all the time, thinking that they are right. We saw that this past Tuesday. The danger here for a badly formed conscience and a badly formed trait of wisdom is that a person can feel that they are totally justified in their own minds, standing in blatant opposition to the truth. What is a man? What is a woman? When does life begin and when does life end? They still don't know. Jesus built a church. He appointed shepherds to teach in his name. The truth is absolute. His name is Jesus Christ. That's one thing I think I've told you this before. The most dangerous thing in the church today is a theologian who thinks too much, who doesn't pray enough. In our society, that's exactly what we have. It's all about thinking and feeling and not believing and praying. Stay close to that truth. If something doesn't seem right, then it probably isn't. And you know what? It's your responsibility to grow properly in experience, knowledge, and wisdom. It's also your responsibility to impart that to those who've been entrusted to your care, your children, your grandchildren, your nieces and your nephews, to proclaim the truth boldly. What is going to happen when things come to an end? Today's gospel is abundantly clear. The wise and the prudent virgins were ready when the bridegroom came. There were lamps filled with oil anticipating his arrival. The others, not so much. Who was invited in and who was left outside? We always have to be ready, for we do not know the hour of his coming or of our passing. What of those who have gone before us, as we celebrated on All Souls Day? We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, about those who have fallen asleep, so that you may not grieve like the rest. We have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose too, so will God, through Jesus, bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Indeed, we tell you this on the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will surely not precede those who have fallen asleep. Paul is reminding the Thessalonians that keeping vigil is a long task. The myriads of faithful who have already fallen asleep before the coming of the Christ, they too share in his salvation. Those of us who remain faithful, wise, and prudent will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Let us pray to remain forever growing in the wisdom of the truth, and we all will stand before him on the last day knowing that we made the right choice.